It's 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, January the 26th. I'm Joy Cardine, and we welcome your attention and participation in our discussion this hour on a troubling issue facing Wisconsin, racial tensions in our state between whites and the Hmong. We will hear from a state legislator and a leader from the Hmong community in Wausau about the problem and an effort to try to ease the tension by requiring instruction in Wisconsin public schools about Hmong history and culture. But first, we will welcome in one of our reporters to talk about the latest case that is escalating the tension, the first-degree murder charges filed against a white man from Peshtigo for the death of a Hmong hunter. Patty Murray is our reporter based in Green Bay. Good morning, Patty.
Morning, Joy.
So what are the prosecutors saying happened in the Peshtigo area earlier this month?
Yeah, January 5th is when the killing allegedly happened. James Nichols, the white man from Peshtigo, and Cha Vang, a Hmong hunter from Green Bay, were both in the same woods, a public hunting area near Marinette, and there was somehow they encountered each other. I guess all those details will come out during the trial, but the two encountered each other. There was a confrontation. In the criminal complaint, Nichols said that Vang pointed a gun at him and shot him in the hand. The next morning, Vang's body was found in the woods under a log with some leaves scattered around it, stabbed six times and shot at least once, I believe. So Nichols last week was charged with first-degree homicide and concealing a corpse. There was no hate crime enhancer added to that, but as I understand, the case is still being investigated.
Yeah, there were some reports that the Hmong community in Wisconsin so far was satisfied with how authorities were dealing with this, but there was a group, I think, a Hmong group in Minneapolis that was saying that this ought to be a hate crime.
Right. A couple weeks ago, on a weekend, that group from Minneapolis did have a kind of a rally. I don't know what exactly you'd call it here in Green Bay, but some of the Hmong from Green Bay were kind of distancing themselves from that and didn't really like the tone that was taking on.
Yeah.
But obviously, there's a good chunk of the Hmong population who believes that there is a problem, and it seems to be manifesting itself in Wisconsin's woods.
Yeah. The defense, James Nichols, is claiming that Cha Vang threatened to kill him, saying that he shouted at him, "I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you," or something. But apparently Cha Vang did not speak English.
Yeah, according to his family, Cha Vang didn't speak English. So, that'll be something that'll come out more during the trial, I suppose.
Yeah. So, and of course, this is following the murder, the killings of six white hunters by a Hmong hunter back in 2004.
Right. Mm. Yeah, that was the Cha Vang incident that was out in western Wisconsin. I'm sure most of our listeners will remember that one because, six people ended up dead out of that. And actually, there was an incident in the Appleton area just last fall where a Hmong hunter was on private land and, pointed a gun at the landowner when the landowner came up to say, maybe you better get out of here. But that hunter, Shatua Lore of Appleton, pled no contest earlier this month to a charge of disorderly conduct. And as part of that, he agreed to not hunt for a year. Mm-hmm. And that plea actually came the day before this alleged killing up in Marinette.
So what is the next step with the Nichols case?
He makes his preliminary court appearance on February 14th. He's being held on $500,000 bond.
Yeah. And aside from these obviously horrific incidents, are there any other, Patty, any other ways that this tension is evident in your neck of the woods?
I really haven't, I haven't heard about much, like in the high schools, if some sort of, fights have been breaking out or anything like that, or, in the larger community, everything seems to be rather peaceful. And I know that some officials with the DNR have said, maybe one reason for this happening, during hunting is that hunting really is just as much of a tradition among the Hmong in their homeland as it is for people raised here in Wisconsin. Both groups like to hunt. And I guess especially during deer season, the DNR has said the Hmong take kind of a different approach to hunting,
mm-hmm.
where people who are native to Wisconsin often will sit in the tree stand and wait for the deer to come by. The Hmong kind of will track a deer, and oftentimes they will end up tracking that deer across property lines.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not, if there's a... not as much of a concept of private property ownership among the Hmong. That seems to be changing, obviously, as they learn more about, you know, get more assimilated into American culture.
Yeah. Was there going to be some DNR, hunting awareness, etiquette, rules and regs, some sort of seminars to try to, you know, work this out?
Well, I'm not aware of anything particular in response to this these incidents, but everybody who is born after a certain date
mm-hmm.
has to go through a hunter education and safety course in order to get a license.
Yeah. And I got to let you go in just a moment here, but the majority culture, are whites in our North Woods feeling that they're unfairly being labeled as racists?
I don't know if they're unfairly feeling that they're being labeled as racist. There have been some people writing in letters to the editor, just kind of anecdotal things
mm-hmm.
saying, you know, why are we turning people loose with guns in the woods if they can't speak English? So there has been a call among some people to have an English language requirement in order to get a hunting license. I don't know if that'll go anywhere.
Well, Patty, thanks for the update. We'll keep in touch. Thanks
sure.
a lot.
Bye.
Patty Murray, our reporter based in Green Bay. Coming up after we check weather, we'll talk with a state lawmaker who will be introducing legislation to require public schools in Wisconsin to teach about the history and culture of Hmong people. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, January the 26th. Coming up this morning after 10 o'clock, Kathleen will talk with an educator about reforms in middle school education. Hundreds of Hmong residents traveled to the state capitol yesterday. They came to support a bill that supporters say would enlighten Wisconsin residents about Hmong culture. A similar bill died in the state legislature 2 years ago, but it got a second wind following the recent murder of a Hmong hunter. Brian Bull attended the event and filed this report.
Organizers say buses carrying an estimated 600 Hmong from across the state arrived in the cold morning. Many arrivals were elders and veterans. Inside the jam-packed assembly parlor, Democratic Representative Fred Kessler of Milwaukee welcomed the crowd.
Good morning.
Kessler was joined by Democratic Representative Donna Seidel of Wausau, who authored the first Hmong Migration Education Act in 2005. Kessler said this version would also direct Wisconsin schools to teach about the historic relationship between the Hmong and the United States. He added there were plans to reintroduce the bill further into the session.
However, because of the fact that a terrible homicide occurred in northeast Wisconsin, we felt this issue now has some urgency. The fear and apprehension felt by our fellow Hmong citizens makes it important that we must retell the heroic story that they played during the Vietnam War.
The homicide involved a white hunter killing 30-year-old Cha Vang in a wildlife refuge near Green Bay. While hate crime charges have not been filed, the alleged murderer reportedly said negative things about the Hmong in the criminal complaint. Representative Seidel said the bill could prevent further incidents.
Our goal is that this legislation will create an environment in our state of mutual respect and tolerance.
Racial tensions escalated earlier in 2004 when a Hmong man shot and killed six white hunters in Sawyer County. Even though the gunman was locked away, many Hmong fear Cha Vang's killing was in retaliation. For Chan Song Yang of the Sheboygan Hmong Mutual Association, it's ironic to hear about fighting between Hmong and Americans. He grew up in Laos during the Vietnam War and saw many of his people rescuing downed American pilots and fighting the communists.
At that time, I remember that I asked my father, who was a colonel in the U.S. Secret Army in Laos, why did our people have to die to save the Americans? And he simply said...
For a moment, Yang choked up and murmured an apology to the audience.
He simply said, because they are our friends, and we make promise to help each other, defend freedom and democracy for all.
Today, an estimated 45,000 Hmong immigrants and their descendants live in Wisconsin. One of them is Blia Vang, an attorney who serves Hmong in Green Bay and Appleton. She grew up attending Madison schools. Vang says having Hmong history and culture taught in class would have kept her from answering the same old questions from her peers.
Number one question is, why are you here? How did you get here? Are you going to stay here? It's just questions that children are curious about when they see someone that's different from them.
Backers of the Hmong Migration Education Act say they'll push to keep it on the legislative calendar. Many plan to come back and testify for the bill and start the educational process within the State House if they need to. Brian Bull, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And we welcome your questions and thoughts about this legislation to require Hmong history and culture to be taught in Wisconsin public schools. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Joining us now is the co-author of the Hmong Migration Education Act. Donald Seidel is a Democratic state representative from Wausau. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Sounds like you had quite a bit of support, certainly from the Hmong community, for this legislation. Why do you think it's so important?
Well, it really was an incredible day in the Capitol yesterday. The outpouring of support, the 8 busloads of people from all around the state coming to Madison really showed how incredibly important the Hmong community believes that this kind of legislation is. I think that over the years, over the past 30 years, they have experienced some difficulty as they come to this new homeland, and they truly believe that if people had just a bit of understanding about their journey and about their contributions, we would have a much more respectful, tolerant situation in our state. And I think we can get there.
Yeah. But, you know, Representative Seidel, you just mentioned this is 30 years now. Don't we know now why the Hmong are in Wisconsin?
Joy, I think that very few Wisconsinites have an appreciation or understanding of the story. I think it was pretty incredible yesterday. Those people in the audience who listened simply for 1 hour of reports and testimony gained so much insight that they didn't have before. And that's the kind of information that we think is important to get out throughout the state and start with our children.
Yeah. So what are you exactly looking for from Wisconsin's schools?
Well, the bill simply directs school districts throughout the state to incorporate into their curriculum some education concerning the journey of the Hmong, why it is they came to the United States, and a story of their contributions since they arrived here. And, you know, obviously people are concerned about the issue of a mandate on our school districts. And what we are saying is that this is a requirement that districts incorporate the information. How they do that will be a decision that local districts will make. So we respect the ability of the local organizations, the local school boards, to do the best things in their area.
Yeah, you're not saying you need 3 weeks of this.
No, absolutely not. We're not saying how they do it. The districts decide how. We simply say that they incorporate some degree of this information and instruction.
Boy, our lines are full. Let's take some calls, questions from our listeners. Matt in Oshkosh, hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to say that the representative has this exactly backwards. The Hmong people are here in our country. I have no problem with the Hmong people. I do business with the Hmong people. But they need to learn the rules of this country. There's no trespassing on private property. They need to speak English so that we can communicate. It should not be put upon our children as our responsibility. It is their responsibility as the immigrant to this country to learn our customs. They had it straight back in the early part of the last century. You have lost it in the early part of this century. You have it exactly backwards. And I'll take my comments off the air.
Representative Seidel?
Well, you know, I certainly appreciate Matt's call and what he's saying. But what we're seeing around the state are the Hmong people are working very, very hard to assimilate, to be good, respectful, knowledgeable citizens. So the information that we've gathered from groups that we've talked to concerning issues including hunting is that they take very seriously the need for them to understand the rules of hunting and how they need to comply. So, for example, a non-English-speaking hunter is most often in the woods with another hunter who speaks English and can help that person understand the rules and the directives. And I don't think that Wisconsin has ever made a mistake by trying to improve things through education. That's simply what we're saying. Let's give our young people an opportunity to be aware of some things that we don't know right now, and it will just improve our ability to get along with one another.
Thank you to Matt. Next, we go to Amy, also in Oshkosh. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm a public school teacher, and I think this is 30 years too late, but better late than never.
Yeah, do you think it's a good idea?
Absolutely. I've taught in Green Bay for 11 years, and now I'm teaching in Fond du Lac, and the kids are clueless, and I think this is hugely important.
Yeah, we're kind of losing you on the cell phone. I'd like to quiz you a little bit more, Amy, but Representative Seidel, she thinks the kids are clueless.
Let me just simply say, first of all, thanks, Amy, for calling. Mm-hmm. And what we offer to the schools is that we're hopeful that this can be done without additional expenses. There are districts voluntarily incorporating some of this information now. I think we can share resources that are available throughout the state, and there are great opportunities to do good education without costing more money.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Amy. And Mike in Sheboygan is with us now. Hi, Mike.
Hi, I got a couple of points. I'll make them real quick. I'm a trapper and a hunter. I'm for the education. The DNR one time did put the regulations out in Hmong. As far as the last teacher's comments, I kind of agree with her, except the teachers don't even teach about the Vietnam War, which I was got some involvement in. Here's a quick story, a good one, with the Hmongs and myself. I lost a weapon on my own choice. I laid a weapon down, unloaded, by taking photographs, and I left a sign back at the public hunting grounds. And sure enough, 2 days later, some guy called me. I couldn't understand him. I knew he was Hmong. I got a hold of his daughter, went to his house. He picked up my gun. He saw my phone number. He said it was a matter of honor. He wouldn't take anything for it. I ended up buying him a real nice hunting knife for the Christmas. I mean, there are a lot of people that wouldn't have returned that weapon. And I just think that sportsmen themselves, I mean, guys that really spend a lot of time in the field, there's just a communication that they have among them. I hunt in Sheboygan County, and I hunt with a lot of Hmong fellas. There's a little suspicion on their part. Sometimes it's nothing more than a smile, it's just a feeling. And I think the sportsmen here, we try to get them more involved because we need them in our ranks. They enjoy the sport. And I just think that life is so short. People have to learn to come together. And Sheboygan County, just real quick.
No, I'm sorry. I really wish I had time for you, Mike, but we're at news break time. And very, very briefly, Representative Seidel, that's a nice story, wasn't it?
That was a great story. And very quickly, what I'd like to say is that it is important in Wisconsin that we continue a great tradition of hunting.
Yeah.
One of the things we're concerned about is the declining number of hunters. We heard that.
Right, right. And we will get to more of that after the news. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 7:36 on this Friday, January the 26th. We're talking with a state lawmaker who is reintroducing legislation that would require more Hmong history and culture education in Wisconsin's public schools. We'll also in this half hour hear from a Hmong community leader about the proposed legislation and what he hopes it can accomplish. And we continue to take your questions and comments at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Should Wisconsin schools be required to come up with some instruction to teach children about the Hmong in history classes, including the role of Hmong people in the Vietnam War and why many have moved to the U.S., including Wisconsin? Would this ease racial tensions between
Hmong people and white people, which was illustrated by some pretty high-profile clashes between Hmong hunters and white hunters in the past couple of years. Some believe that a Peshtigo man charged with murdering a Hmong hunter earlier this month could have been retaliating for a Hmong hunter who was convicted of murdering six white hunters in Sawyer County a couple of years ago. Will this Hmong Migration Education Act help? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Donna Seidel is a Democratic state representative from Wausau. She is the co-author of the Hmong Migration Education Act, announced during a news conference yesterday at the state capitol. And also joining us, Peter Yang, executive director of the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association. Good morning, Peter Yang. Oops, I'm sorry. I didn't put the right button on. Good morning, Peter Yang.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
And Representative Seidel, thank you for staying with us.
Sure. Yeah. Glad to be here, Joy.
And, you know, I wanted to ask you I interrupted you at the bottom of the hour, Representative Seidel. You were talking about the tradition of hunting in Wisconsin. You want to take up where you left off?
Well, I was I wanted to mention that it's really important in our state that we continue to enjoy the sport of hunting. And what we know now is because of some of these concerns that we're seeing a decline. For example, we've heard numbers of, in the past, up to 16,000 Hmong hunters, and because of concerns now of possible difficulties, that number has dwindled down to about 9,000. So that isn't good for the sport, that's not good for our economy, and although hunting is certainly only just one consequence of the problems that we're seeing, it's an important one.
Yeah, Peter Yang, are Hmong people afraid to hunt in Wisconsin?
I don't think Hmong people are afraid. You know, we continue to see Hmong hunters going out there enjoying themselves during the hunting season. You know, and there may be a few that may ask themselves whether or not it is safe enough out there to go hunting. But the majority of the Hmong people that I know of continue to enjoy the sport.
Yeah. Do you find, Peter Yang, that most people in Wisconsin still don't understand why Hmong people have migrated to Wisconsin?
I think there are some people that understand or know more about the Hmong people, particularly communities with larger Hmong populations. In Wisconsin, the Hmong are scattered sort of across the state of Wisconsin, but there are in many areas in Wisconsin that have no Hmong residents, and you know, people in those areas or communities probably have very little or no exposure to the Hmong residents.
Yeah, why do you support this legislation?
I think it is important to have this bill so that you know all children and all, you know, particularly children who are going to be going through the school system, they will have the opportunity to learn a little bit about the Hmong history and Hmong culture and the reason why Hmong people are here. I know that many of the Hmong parents wonder why there's nothing written about the Hmong's involvement during the Vietnam War. Even when the Vietnam War is taught in the school. And so they would like to see something talking about their involvement. And so I think this is a good bill that would help to make that happen.
Yeah, can you give us, Peter Yang, the short course in case people don't understand what the Hmong did during the Vietnam War and why so many Hmong people have settled in Wisconsin?
Certainly. As you know, the Hmong people worked with the United States CIA during the Vietnam War in Laos. And as a result, you know, I mean, over 30,000 Hmong people died during that time. But, you know, after the Vietnam War, the Pathet Lao, the Communist Pathet Lao, took over Laos, and so many people could not stay because of their involvement with the United States. Many people were captured and persecuted. And so that's the reason why we came to America to be safe.
Yeah, and besides these very horrific hunting incidents, is that do Hmong people face sort of day to day persecution in Wisconsin, misunderstandings, discrimination?
Certainly, there's a racial issue out there. I would say that, you know, the majority of the people are very nice and very kind, and certainly the Hmong people have been warmly welcomed here in the state of Wisconsin. We've been getting very strong support from the communities in which we live and also across the state. So there may be a few cases where there's misunderstanding taking place, and it could be through individuals that may not know anything about the Hmong people or may not understand much about the Hmong at all.
Let me take a caller who is in central Wisconsin. Is it Kara or Kara?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hi. I recently moved, actually, from a suburban Milwaukee school where I taught at a very culturally diverse school, but we had no Hmong students, to central Wisconsin where we don't have many minorities, but we have a large Hmong minority. And so I think bringing that education to central Wisconsin and north central Wisconsin students where there is a large Hmong population is very important. I've seen and heard more racial comments and, you know, just ignorant things from students and community members alike. And I don't think it's just the students. I think they learn a lot of that from their parents. So I definitely think education in central and northern Wisconsin is very, very important.
Let me first ask Peter Yang for your reaction to that.
I think that's a good idea. I hope that it's not just, you know, northern or central Wisconsin, because, like I said, the Hmong live across the state, you know, except maybe in the north, in the very northern part of Wisconsin. So we're kind of spread throughout the state. And, if you know, this could be taught in every school district because, you know, our children will be, you know, exposing to children of other races or other groups, you know, across the state, and you know, not only within their own community. So I think it's a good idea that this is a statewide curriculum for all children.
Yeah, Representative Seidel, you don't think it needs to be just in certain parts of the state?
No, our goal is to have this throughout the state. Once again, you know, we saw evidence yesterday as we saw up to 600 people coming from almost every part of the state to support this. And while some communities in portions of the state don't have the size of the population, there is exposure to the population through guests, through visitors, through a moving workforce. So I think it's really important that throughout the state we all have the same level of appreciation and understanding.
We're going to check weather, and then we'll continue talking about this legislation and take more calls. Peter Yang, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you.
Peter Yang is executive director of the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association. State Representative Donald Seidel stays with us. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, 13 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Friday, January the 26th. And coming up after 8 o'clock, from the State of the Union to the State of Wisconsin, we'll talk with two guests about the news of the week. It's the Week in Review coming up after 8. We're talking with Donna Seidel this hour. She's a Democratic State Representative from Wausau. She is co-author of the Hmong Migration Education Act, which would require Wisconsin public schools to have more instruction on Hmong history and culture, including the Hmong's role in the Vietnam War and why the Hmong migrated to the United States, including Wisconsin. Our next caller for her is Sam in Appleton. Hi, Sam. You're on the air.
Good morning. I'm a senior volunteer, and we work with Hmong, and we have a lot of them here in Appleton. The one thing our agency did was have a young lady who was Hmong come in and explain to us how to work with Hmong and their traditions, their beliefs. And this was really beneficial to us because right away we learned that you never look at Hmong in the eyes, which we do you know, we look at everybody in the eyes, and they don't do that. And that put a different perception, because we thought they, when the kids looked away, that they weren't paying attention. But that was part of their beliefs. And I think if they're going to teach us in the schools, she told us all about, you know, the war and all that and what happened and horrific things that they went through. But the thing that I got out of it most was their beliefs and how to work with them. And I think that's essential that each one of us do that.
What do you think of that, Representative Seidel?
Oh, I think it's a great story, Joy. Sam, thanks so much for calling. I think that knowledge leads to understanding, and that is precisely the objective of this legislation. So great example. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. And Willie in Madison is with us now. Hi, Willie.
Well, first of all, my disclaimer is that I think the bringing of the Hmong to the U.S. and eventually to Wisconsin, because I think because other areas were so, there's so much more ambient prejudice, perhaps, I think that was the one decent thing that the U.S. and its horrendous foreign policy did in Southeast Asia. After we got the Hmong people to help us in a situation they didn't understand, and they were being heavily persecuted, it was right that we brought them here. I like them, and they're great people and very interesting in all this. They have a great old culture. I worry, though, in a program like this, that the history is going to be glossed over. You know, it is not the Hmong people's fault that they were the original producers, at least the growers, of what eventually became China White heroin in the 70s, if you'll let me even say this on the air.
So link it up to the discussion, though.
Okay,
Willie.
Yeah, I want to link it up to the discussion. What I'm worried about is the program to educate the kids will fail to do this because, you know, much of the story of the Hmong is the story of the evil of the United States in Southeast Asia, where we killed 3 million people. And I don't want that glossed over because none of it was the Hmong people's fault.
Yeah, Willie wants to make sure we don't gloss over how bad the U.S. was in the Vietnam War, I guess, Representative Seidel.
Well, you know, Joy, I trust that our school district will continue to do a good program because we really can boast superior education, and I don't see any problem with that extending into this kind of instruction.
Yeah. What about Representative Seidel? Talk a little bit more. You say that there are Hmong populations all over the state of Wisconsin, and this should be statewide curriculum, but Wisconsin is one of the states that has one of the highest populations in the country. Isn't that right?
It is. We're hearing different numbers, but I've heard from the best estimates at this point are between 50 and even 60,000. And we're seeing, you know, a growing number of home ownerships. Almost 55% of Hmong own their own homes. A much more significant appreciation of higher education. Our young Hmong students are going on and getting degrees in our universities and on technical college. And this Hmong population is building our skilled workforce, and that is critical for our economic development. As that happens, the Hmong community will very likely expand and move throughout the state. So I think it's really, you know, important, as again, for all of Wisconsin to have this instruction and understanding.
And can you explain why we have more Hmong settlement or migration in Wisconsin than perhaps other states? Minnesota and Wisconsin are both way up there. Is it because there are a lot more sponsors, church groups, what?
I think you're absolutely right, Joy. 30 years ago, as the Hmong were were being persecuted and forced out of their homeland and coming to the United States, they were brought to certain areas of the country by generally churches who were sponsoring them. And then as more Hmong families came, and they're a very, very close-knit culture and society, moved to where their families were, thus coming to the original sites, which were often in the Midwest.
Scott in Menasha is with us now. Hello, Scott. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. I think this should be a voluntary class. I mean, I'm not racial or nothing, but they want to be Americans, or they are Americans. Wouldn't it be a little more important to teach them the American way, since there seems to be a difference here? And I just don't, it would be a lot easier to teach the 60,000 that are here the American way and our rules and stuff. I don't really understand why our kids would be forced to learn their way. They have enough stuff to learn and grow and live on their own.
Yeah.
And where would it end then? What's the next mandatory class? We got to learn Middle Eastern culture because we're over there helping them now?
Lots to learn in school, Representative,
You know, Scott's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. I mean, our kids need to be exposed to much more in terms of our world today. But I would just like to let Scott know that all of the experience many of us have had as we get to know the Hmong community is that they are here. They believe this is a fabulous country. They are eager to become very important members of a great democratic country, and they are working very hard to understand our culture and be really productive citizens. But I think it can only help if those of us who are non-Hmong understand their culture so that we can get along with them as well.
Yeah, can you address, though, that there's all sorts of important things that maybe we should learn in school, but there's not enough time in a day to learn all of them?
Well, that's why the bill was crafted the way it was, to say that the districts need to incorporate, but how they choose to do that will be up to them based on our recognition that their plates are really full.
Yeah. Thank you, Scott. Jim in Ashland, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I had the privilege to serve with Hmong in Vietnam near the Laotian border in the DMZ.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, this lady that called in about saying we're 30 years too late, we could not teach it 30 years ago because all that was top secret. And now since it's declassified, it should be taught. And it shouldn't be a politician's type look at it. It should be the people that served with them and what they did, firsthand knowledge of these people. And I'll tell you something, you know, to me, I just want to say thank you, and I think that they should be taught in school what these people did for Americans, not just the pilots. The special forces were going into Laos with these people.
Yeah. So maybe Jim should go into one of these classes,
Representative
Seidel.
Boy, that's exactly what I was going to say, Joy. Jim would be the kind of resource that ought to be available to school districts to get in there to share his story and accomplish exactly what our goal is. Thanks, Jim, for calling.
Thank you very much, Jim. Judy in Eau Claire is with us now. Hi, Judy.
Oh, yes, good morning. This is so interesting, and I, like Amy before, think it's too late. Not too late, but...
Better late than never.
Better late than never. I think it was like probably 1984 or 1985 when my son was in a parochial school in Eau Claire here. There were a couple Hmong families, and his best friend was a young Hmong boy and was for quite a few years through high school. And he benefited from it. Our whole family benefited from it. And shortly after he met Cao in school, there was a wonderful presentation at our local library explaining a bit of why they were here, but explaining their dress and their money and things like that. And it was great. Since then, to be honest, I mean, I haven't heard a lot that we've been educated. And I work with people of all ages here at in the school system, and they don't know, you know, what the Hmong did. They really don't. Many of them don't, anyway. So anyway, I think it's a wonderful idea, and thanks for getting it on the table.
Yeah, thank you for calling, Judy. Representative Seidel.
Thanks, Judy. Again, that's exactly why this initiative is moving forward, and we appreciate your support and hope you'll share your commitment towards it with your friends and neighbors.
You know, I meant to also play a short clip from Andrew Vu, who's an eighth grader from the Eau Claire School District, who testified yesterday when this Hmong Migration Education Act was announced, that this was going to be reintroduced. And here's why he thinks it would be so important.
Wisconsin is a great state, and education is the only way to promote social justice and equality for all people. This learning needs to take place in our schools. Please help the children of Wisconsin better understand who their neighbors and friends are so that they can help their parents understand others.
And that's the point, Representative Seidel.
Absolutely. What an impressive young man. His testimony was incredible, and we really appreciate it. And he said it all. What we're aiming for is social justice and a better place for all of us to live. And I think that this can help us move toward that goal.
And we have less than 30 seconds, actually, but what's the next step for your legislation?
Well, we're hoping it's being circulated for co-sponsorship. We're going to work with our friends on the other side of the aisle and hope to get it scheduled for a public hearing as soon as possible.
Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks so much, Joy.
Yeah, Donna Seidel, Democratic State Representative from Wausau, co-author of the Hmong Migration Education Act. We thank her for joining us. We thank Peter Yang, Executive Director of the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association, for spending some time with us this hour, as we do Patty Murray, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Green Bay. Thanks for Brian Bull for his help in supplying some information from yesterday's news conference. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.